Welcome back to Casting the Net, where we seek to divulge into the broad net that public health casts here in East Texas. This is our second episode of the season. So I'm here in the studio with Terrence Ates today. We're going to be doing it a little different. We actually don't have a guest with us today. It's just going to be me and Terrence. But we're going to be talking a little bit about worksite wellness and how we support moms. We're going to be talking about a little bit of nutrition and some motivation that maybe you can divulge in your workplace to maybe get some ideas rolling. So without further ado, let's jump right in and get at it.
For work sites of any size, so if you're a company of one, this applies to you. If you're a company of 1,000, 3,000, 5,000 in the Tyler area, even across East Texas, because the Worksite Wellness Awards program is open to any business in East Texas. So the Northeast Texas Public Health District, we're based in Tyler, we're based in Smith County, but the majority of our free services are open to anybody that lives in East Texas. So this Worksite Wellness Award has four different categories, and it is open for any company to receive free recognition, awareness, notoriety, publicity from NetHealth, from a local public health department, about how well your work site is. That's the program in a nutshell.
Yeah. Had NetHealth ever offered any kind of award like this previously?
To my knowledge, no. I've been an employee of NetHealth for 13 years. So
yeah, you got a little time on me, Terrence.
Yes, sir. If there's anything before 2012, I've not had any knowledge. Now, companies may have their own existing worksite wellness programs, initiatives already in place. But we're wanting to shine a broader light on successes that companies may have already with their worksite wellness programs so that other companies can learn from you, because the majority of a person's workday is spent at their job, at their worksite. So it's important for wellness to be ingrained, implemented as a part of your day-to-day, week-to-week worksite operation.
And we're seeing that. I mean, I think that we've seen a rise in health awareness in the workplace, you know, people wanting to take initiative. And I guess what you're saying, Terrence, is like these companies don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel. They have things that are already in place that would fit the criteria of what we're looking for.
Their individual company may have things already in place that some or the majority of employees may not even know is already available for them to utilize.
I think it's very true. I think there's probably companies out there that offer things to employees and they're just not aware that they have it available to them.
I'll go ahead and speak on behalf of NetHealth. We have an employee assistance program that's free for any employee to utilize. Many of you that are listening right now, your company probably has some type of an employee assistance program that's free for you to utilize. And the acronym is EAP, Employee Assistance Program. Now, the name of the company that your business uses to provide that EAP may be different. But the basic element is that there are a lot of free supportive resources, programs. Like for ours, for example, you can get assistance on tutoring for your school-age children. Mm-hmm. You can get assistance on if you need to move residence. If you need, instead of calling up friends to help you move on a weekend, you can contact our employee assistance program, and they can get you in contact for free with moving companies to help you move. They can help you help your kids to find college scholarships. They can provide free legal guidance, legal assistance. I'm just thinking on the tip of the iceberg, because there's 10 or 12 different pages that we've been provided by our HR department of everything that's all available.
Yeah,
and a lot of it's just taking the time to look to see what is all available from your employee assistance program. But all that's to say, there are a lot of free things already in place that you as an employee may not know is already available to you. And you as a company, there may be success stories from other companies in your same category, in your same industry, that you can just learn and kind of pick and choose what works for them may work for you.
It's kind of like, you know, when you get a car and then years later you realize it had some feature that didn't
know. I didn't know
there.
It did that.
You're looking in the trunk and you're like, oh, there's auxiliary lights in here. I didn't know that there were additional lights.
There's power outlets in.
Yeah.
In the tailgate. And
so, yeah, I mean, you got to do your due diligence. I mean, hopefully that, you know, your HR department or whoever oversees that program for your company is doing a good job advocating to you as the employee of what is available to you. But it doesn't always go like that, unfortunately. Sometimes the employee has to do a little bit more digging. But yeah, maybe you'd be surprised what your company has available to you.
And then the other perspective of this free Worksite Wellness Awards program that NetHealth is offering, from the employer perspective, that having a worksite wellness program in place at your company, it will decrease your healthcare costs, your insurance premiums. So the bottom line, it will save you money in the long run. By having healthier employees, you have happier employees, and it translates to financial savings to the operation of your company. In addition, it's improved morale because you just feel better when you're healthier. There's a culture that becomes developed by having a worksite wellness program that is known by the majority of your employees. So it's one thing to have a program. It's another thing for your staff to utilize that program, to utilize all the free services that are available. So by applying for this free Worksite Wellness Awards program, hopefully it will encourage other businesses. It may become peer pressure. Your company gets this Worksite Wellness Award, and then there are other businesses that you see on a regular basis, and they say, well, how did you get this Worksite Award program? We do the same stuff that you do. Why didn't, well, you got to apply. It's as easy as that.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the draws. We're hoping that, again, that we're not causing anybody to have to reinvent the wheel. This is something that we have a criteria set, and Terrence might go a little bit more into that here in a bit, of what qualifies for you to be able to accept this award that we're offering.
So there are four different categories. The application itself is available online on our website, mynethealth.org. When you go to the Worksite Wellness Awards page, you can see the list of the four different criteria. The first that we're going to touch on is your company having a mother-friendly worksite policy. So this is, I just want to emphasize this. You may not have female employees at your business right now, but if your company does hire female employees in the future, it will be very beneficial if your company already has a mother-friendly worksite policy already in place, because this is to provide support for women who are becoming mothers, who have infants, who have newborns. Whether they are able to bring their infant newborn to their job site, to their work site. Now, it depends on what type of business that you operate. Or providing the ability for your female employees who are breastfeeding, providing them the ability to pump, to express their breast milk during their work breaks, during their lunch, before or after their shift, so that they can have their breast milk available when they go home to feed their child. And then also just for the comfort level of the mom herself to be able to express breast milk while she's at work. I feel it's important for us as men, us as guys, to say this, that it's important to support women's health at the workplace. There are four elements to having a mother-friendly work site, one of which I mentioned already is having a room where the mom can express her breast milk, where she can breastfeed her child. And it's important that that room is not a bathroom. That is not a rule that we as NetHealth made up. This is from the Texas Department of State Health Services. They operate the mother-friendly worksite program. So that's one of their criteria. That I'm not a woman. Mm-hmm. Never been a woman.
Yeah.
I would assume that you would need to have some level of comfort, assurance, ease, not being distracted, disrupted, and then also a safe, accommodating location. I have not spent time sitting in a closet, so yeah. I don't think that trying to express breast milk in a closet would be
And that might
be a comfortable place to do it.
In its initial inception, before they maybe had like an official criteria, there was probably companies who just kind of outfitted a...
Just, we got this unused...
Yeah, this old janitor's closet or something. Just pull the stuff out and just put a chair in there. I've seen some really nice ones. You know, they, you know, play some music or, you know, they got a little speaker in there.
Yeah, they have... The mood is set.
Sure, sure.
So it could be an unused office space. It can be the conference room at your workplace. It can be somebody's existing office. As long as that door is able to be locked and you can have some type of sign saying "Do not disturb," you know, whether it's a door hanger or print out on a piece of paper and you tape it on the outside of the door.
Pretty versatile criteria.
It's very versatile. And the Mother Friendly Worksite program itself will provide your company with signage if you do not have signage available to put on that specific room. So making sure the mom has a private room that's not a bathroom, that's one of the four. Second is that there are hygienic storage options for her breast milk. So if it's a break room, a common area refrigerator, it could be a mini fridge or a personal cooler that the woman can keep in her office, under her desk, in her cubicle, locker, wherever it may be. As long as the breast milk can stay temperature controlled. Third thing, the mom has access to running water, to a clean water source and a sink where she can rinse and clean the bottles where she keeps the breast milk, clean the breast pump if she has a breast pump. And then fourth, your company has, within your policy, you have flexible work schedules built in so the mom can have feasible time to breastfeed or to pump her breast milk. Like I mentioned before, if that's during her work shift or if it's during her lunch break.
Do they have set durations on those? Like 15 minutes? Or is that just contingent on what the company?
It's up to the company, yeah. That's a company decision. You bring up a good point, though, because it's the company's decision to decide the length of the breaks, but it's important that breaks are allowed, are provided, are available. Depending on the nature of your business, if it's going to be easier for that break to be within the lunchtime, then if that's written in your policy, then that's fine. As long as there's a paper trail that backs up how your company provides a flexible schedule for women to pump or to breastfeed. You have that as written company policy. And those are the four criteria for the mother-friendly worksite program. This is something that is not... That was not organized directly by NetHealth. It was created by the Texas Department of State Health Services, which I will refer for the rest of this episode as the State Health Department. Internally, we call them DSHS because that's their acronym. The State Health Department created the Mother-Friendly Worksite Program so that any company across the entire state of Texas could receive this recognition. We have rolled in that program with a few other policy-driven programs, the second of which to bring up is if your company has a nicotine-free policy. So not just smoke-free, but nicotine-free. And this goes into smoking cigarettes, e-cigarettes, vaping pens, mods. On company property. So this, again, this goes back to what your company policy is. If you have company work vehicles, does your policy include not using nicotine-containing products in your work vehicles?
Mm-hmm.
That's a company-by-company decision. Depending on where your city, where your company is located in what city, if that nicotine fraud policy means no smoking indoors, and if it means you have to be a certain number of feet away from any customer entrances, or if that means no smoking is allowed anywhere on your property, including the parking lot, sidewalk, and that's a company-by-company decision.
You got to go across the street.
Because it's... Now, that's where it falls back on the business, on the company, of how loose or how stringent your nicotine-free policy may be. But this also goes into cost savings for the company in the big picture. Tobacco use is still one of the leading causes of preventable death, not just within East Texas, not just within the state of Texas, but across the entire country, just because of all the health effects it has on your lungs, on your heart, on your blood, increase your blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera. The element that we have this nicotine-free policy written in, another sobering statistic is we have a high percentage of pregnant women in East Texas who smoke while they are still pregnant.
Wow.
So the unborn child is getting exposure to secondhand smoke while they are still developing.
That's wild that that's still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that hits home. Everybody listening, I think y'all heard a little bit on the last episode, but our household is expecting, and I couldn't even fathom. That's wild.
Smoke barbecue.
That's crazy.
Not cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
But this goes back to the culture of education about health prevention, about health promotion, about basic lifestyle habits that benefit you in the short term and also in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So this mother-friendly worksite program can benefit your company now and in the future. A nicotine-free policy benefits you now and in the future. The third policy that I'll touch upon is if your company has any type of healthy food, healthy eating policy, healthy meal options, and this is very flexible depending on if you have a cafeteria on site at your job, if you have vending machines, if you have food trucks that come, whatever ways meals are provided to your employees during the workday. That's where this healthy food policy comes in, because that environment can look very different if you're a company with thousands of employees, just using UT Health East Texas, Chris's mm-hmm. Mother Francis, Sanderson Farms, Ingersoll Rand, for example. There are larger, or
Train.
The companies that have the largest numbers of employees in the Smith County area, where you have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, you have multiple work sites, you have multiple, cafeteria. You have to have multiple ways of feeding your
employees. Yeah.
Or if they bring their own food. That's a different, it's kind of a different topic, different story for a different time. But if you have a lot of employees, you want to make sure you're providing meals to. You want to make sure you're providing a wide range of, maybe you have some not so healthy options, which is okay. You gotta have a well-rounded buffet to
all
offer.
All in moderation.
All in moderation. Those healthier options, you also want to make sure that they are placed in locations where they're more visible, they're more accessible for your employees. And that goes to the topic of behavioral design. So this is whether you may have the healthier options higher on the shelf, whether more at eye level, chest level. Behavior design can also mean when a employee enters the cafeteria area, the lunch area, the healthier options are bam, they're right there first when you first walk in. Or it becomes the default option, almost to where you're giving them the opportunity to select healthier meals. It's still up to that individual employee to make that pick, to make that selection. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make a drink.
Sure.
But you're doing your due diligence as the business, as the employer, as the worksite, to providing those healthier options, strategically placing these healthier options, and even strategically placing the signage showing if your company has some type of healthy menu labeling, color-coded signage, if you offer discounts for healthier options, that's part of the misconception that eating healthier costs more money. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is.
Well, I remember we were talking to a certain someone a few weeks ago, how they have a salad bar and everything, but it's like almost...
Oh, yeah, it's kind of tucked away.
It's kind of hidden, you know? And it's just like, you got to like look for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or healthy food and stuff is... It's there, but it's... Yeah, it's kind of...
It shouldn't be hard to find.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be hard to get to what the healthier options are. It makes you wonder... And that's a good example of this topic of behavioral design. When that space was designed, was worksite wellness top of mind when their cafeteria space was designed? No, the work environment has changed over the decades. So things can get moved, things can get rearranged. Whether you can physically move a salad bar or not, let's say if you can't move it, you can add directional signage, wayfinding signage. You can have a flyer poster up at the entrance that shows a map to show where the healthier options are within the eating space. If you're a company that doesn't have a cafeteria, you have vending machines. Do your vending machines have healthy options in them? And that kind of goes to what the nutritional standards are, depending on the items that are in there, if they're higher protein or if it's lower sodium, lower cholesterol. Does your company have the ability to pick and choose what's put into your vending machines? Or are your vending machines filled by an outside company, third-party company, and you just get whatever they decide to put in?
Yeah.
And that's where the policy element comes in. Does your company have some type of healthy food policy where you have control and ownership over what items to put into that vending machine?
And I think this is also, I mean, kind of like a cool segue, or at least like a way to kind of hit on that. You as the employee, I mean, you can advocate for it too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you don't ask, you know. It's like if there's something that you want available, you might be surprised that if you bring that to the right person to be like, hey, why don't we see about maybe offering this in our menu or putting this in our vending machine, you might be surprised at what you find or the response that you get. And just try not to be pessimistic and be like, no, I'm going to get shot down. There's no point in asking. Just ask.
Because there may be other employees that have the same thought, have the same wish, the right. same desires of having healthier options, or at least refreshing what is made available for purchase. Because there's, because even I go through this, there's that decision, do I want to leave my office to go get lunch? Mm-hmm. Or what are my options here? What are my nearby options? How far do I need to walk or drive?
Yeah, we're on the
fourth floor.
To get
food.
We got to go down the elevator and cross the street, go to the parking lot.
And then, yeah, which direction to go? Or we're close enough we can walk downtown, or we can drive. Yeah, not not too far to get to two restaurants to other locations. And some days I'll bring my own lunch, just kind of, if I know I'm not going to have as much time in my work day to go someplace for lunch, I'll bring my own food. Yeah. But I know not everybody is able to do that at their job.
Yeah.
So it comes down to your situation, to your work environment, to the cultural climate of your work site, of knowing what healthy options are available on site. If there are not healthy options available on site, where are your nearest healthier options off site? Another element to this healthy food policy, it's not just things that you eat, but they're also the things that you drink, because you can be surprised how many calories you can. This is a soapbox I will stand on. You can drink more calories than you can eat. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many calories are in a glass of sweet tea,
mm-hmm.
versus a lunch size meal at a restaurant.
Right.
Hidden calories of what you drink may surprise you. So when you purchase whether it's a soda, whether it's fruit juice, whether it's Gatorade, milk, get coffee at Seven Brew, Dutch Brothers, Starbucks, wherever it may be,
mm-hmm.
The additives that you may put in, the way that you like to customize your drink. If you don't do this already, start to learn how many calories you're consuming on a regular basis, and see if you're surprised or not.
Yeah. Anytime I get coffee at either one of those places, I was surprised. I started doing this a while back, but I'll be like a quarter sweet.
A quarter?
Yeah.
Not full.
Not even half. Because like they get it too. I mean, they hear, you know, it's like they may put six pumps in there instead of, you know, or they may put one pump in there instead of six. And it's just like, yeah, dude. It's like whatever y'all's measurements are, give me a quarter of that.
So dial it all down a little bit.
Yeah.
But not that you have to titrate your dosage every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a taste preference.
That or is too. It? I mean, there's an element of that. Some stuff I've had, and I just don't know how anybody can drink it, man. It's just like pure milk sugar. Like, it's too much. It's way too much. I can't do it. Maybe when I was a little younger, but I can't now. I know it's just like, I can't even get that stuff down.
Your taste buds have adulted.
Yeah. Like in the fall, you do the pumpkin latte or whatever, and some of those are just like overbearingly sweet.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah, it's like, no, man, like y'all got to dial it back a little bit.
So the Net Health Worksite Wellness Awards categories, I think we've touched on all four. We've mentioned the mother-friendly worksite policy, the nicotine-free worksite policy. If you have any type of a healthy food, healthy nutrition policy, then the fourth one, if you have any type of a exercise/physical activity worksite policy. So your company provides awareness, education, resources for getting some physical activity. And this is going to be as simple as your company has written into your worksite policy of just going for a walk during the workday, or that's during a scheduled break, or that's during your lunchtime, whether it's before work or after work. You don't necessarily have to have a gym at your worksite to have a physical activity policy. If you have a park that's nearby, if you have hallways, staircases. There are lunch and learns that have any type of exercise component for it. Because it kind of goes back to what we mentioned earlier, where there are cost savings that can be seen by you as the employer, and that you as the employee can realize just by just simply just standing up and going for a walk for 5 minutes. Doesn't have to be a long walk, especially now that we're in the summer, just East Texas summers. You may not always have the want, the interest,
the humidity
to go for a walk outside.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest ones, is like one of the biggest deterrents is that Texas humidity.
But even at 6, 7 a.m., it's still pretty muggy.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of indoor locations where you could walk. And even at your job itself, let's say from the moment you walk in to your employee entrance to your company and getting to wherever your workstation is, your desk, your office, your cubicle, your register, your cash stand, wherever you work, just that walk itself can count as part of your physical activity. Some companies have membership discounts to local gyms and fitness centers. That can apply to this also. But what if you're a company that does not? Then think of what types of exercise activities, exercise programs that are doable at your company. And then, like we mentioned before, you may have stuff already in place that you just may not know is available for any employee to take advantage of. It may be a time of day issue. Like mm-hmm. You may have coworkers, they show up 30 minutes before their shift starts, and they'll walk inside the building, or they may walk outside the building. They may walk during the lunch break. That, as long as you have that written on company letterhead as a part of your policy, it's as easy as that. It's just understanding what you can do already and building upon that for your work site physical activity policy. And those are the four criteria. It's as easy as that. We as NetHealth, we did not directly create all this. This was in collaboration with the state health department that I mentioned before. This is actually from a grant-funded program. It's called the Community Clinical Health Bridge and the Texas Physical Activity and Nutrition Program. These are two state-funded programs. One of their main goals is just supporting healthier work sites in whatever way, shape, form, or fashion that may need to be decided upon by the individual work site. But in the big picture, the healthier your employees are, the healthier your business can become, financially and otherwise. I know it still comes down to the bottom line. But to achieve that bottom line, your employees should be as healthy as they can possibly be, because it helps them and it helps you in the big picture.
Yeah. When is, because the application's open right now.
Mm-hmm.
When will these be awarded again?
So the application deadline is August 31st, which is a Sunday this year. But our intent is for this to be an annual program. So the end of August of every year is when the applications are due. So if you submit your application September 1st or afterwards, then you would go into the 2026 period, 2026 season of the Worksite Wellness Awards program. We have received a partnership with the Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce to where we would like to recognize the companies that receive the Worksite Wellness Awards program in collaboration with the Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce. So as I mentioned before, you can be a business, you can be a company outside of Tyler, you can be outside of Smith County, and you can apply. Now, this is free to any company. If you want to brag about how healthy, how well your company is, if you're outside of Smith County, we want to know. That's what this awards program is designed and set up to do, to emphasize and to highlight and to celebrate the companies that are well.
Taking initiative.
For lack of a better term. And because you'd asked another question, Thomas, you said the application period is open. What was the other question?
When will they be, I guess, not finalized, but like announced?
Recognized. So our target is going to be the first week of October. So by receiving all the applications by the end of August, then the State Health Department staff that I mentioned and NetHealth will review the application so that we can select and provide notice to the companies that will receive the Worksite Wellness Awards. The actual date itself we have not established, but it'll be the early part of October. And by awarding this first round of Worksite Wellness Award companies, that they can become our ambassadors, our spokes companies. It's not spokespeople. I don't know if that's the actual term, spoke companies, to help recruit other companies to apply next year. It's all building that climate of the culture of being a healthy company. Your employees are being healthy. Your insurance premiums are lower. The number of days that your companies may be absent from work for preventable health-related reasons, those days go down. This is truly a domino effect that will happen by having worksite policies in place that relate to ways that your company wants to prevent your employees from developing health issues that can be avoidable. That's one of the big goals of this Worksite Wellness Awards program. And the application is free.
That's a plus. No application fee.
Totally free. Now, the trade-off of that being free is your company developing, if you don't have any of these policies in place, learning what's your first step, and that's where I can come in, and that's where our NetHealth staff can come in, because we can provide technical assistance. We have templates of each of these four policies so that your company can review things that you have in place already, and maybe you need a little time to get one or two things in order before you can officially approve that exact policy for your company. So if you don't have all four of the policies already in place, that is totally fine. We're here to help you create any one or all four of those policies for your business. And as I mentioned before, the full info about how to apply and about the four categories, they are listed on our website, mynethealth.org. There's a link in the latest news section that's on the middle portion of our homepage. You can also email us, whether you can email us through the podcast email address, castingthenet@netphd.org, which I'm sure will be in the show notes.
I'll put the links in the show notes for sure.
Then you can directly give us a call at 903-535-0030. Did I miss anything, Thomas?
Just be sure to, any of y'all hearing this here on the podcast, be sure to let other companies know, other business owners who might be interested in a program such as this one, to help kind of, again, continue to move the needle, getting people to be more health conscious, not only in, at home and in their individual lives, but in the workspace. I mean, that's ultimately the goal of this program and the awards that we're giving out. So mm-hmm. y'all be sure to share with people that you think might be interested or that could potentially benefit. We see it as an all around benefit, but yeah, y'all be sure to tell your friends and coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate y'all tuning in. Terrence, you got anything else?
Kind of a teaser for future episodes. As I was discussing the healthy food, the nutrition policy, we're going to have a future episode on another program called Rethink Your Drink. We're going to have another future episode on our breast and cervical cancer screening program that's operated by our Center for Healthy Living. And on type 2 diabetes prevention and self-management, because statistically, 1 out of 8 people in East Texas have type 2 diabetes, which is a preventable health condition that's directly attributable, directly related to how you live on a day-to-day basis, primarily on what you eat and what you drink, but then also just how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And there are easy ways, if you are type 2 diabetic, there are easy ways that you can reverse that that diagnosis, where you can become non-diabetic. You can get off your medications. You can decrease a whole list of preventable issues. I won't go into it.
Yeah, we'll save that for
later. We'll save that for later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to go
down the rabbit hole. Well, yeah, Terrence, well, I appreciate you giving us all the deets on the Wellness Awards, the NetHealth Worksite Wellness Awards that we've kicked off. And again, y'all be sure to share with friends, families, coworkers. Let them know about it. We want to see plenty of applications. And again, that application period is open right now, so y'all be sure to get into that. Again, I'll have the link in the show notes. And yeah, we appreciate y'all tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.